Soulful. Are you a wantrepreneur, an entrepreneur, or a valuepreneur? Well, today we are about to find out. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards, and this Authors on Fire podcast. I am Pat Rulo. Today, I'm so excited to share a conversation with Steve Waddell, author of the book titled Valuepreneurs, offering a practical and systematic guide to transforming product ideas into reality. It's a 5-stage, 15-step value-driven product development journey that imparts a legacy of wisdom, arming future entrepreneurs with the strategies and tools essential for turning visionary ideas into market-leading products. And I know we are about to have a robust conversation, so I want to get started. Welcome to the network, Steve.
Hey, thank you, Pat. It's great to be here.
It is great to have you here. I did not read a bio, and I want to get to that in a minute. But first, I was reading about you, and I understand that you enjoy tropical gardening, and I was fascinated by that. So before we dig into the book, just give us a peek into that.
Well, you know, I live in southeastern Virginia, and so it is not a tropical climate. So it's rather unique that I have banana plants that grow 15 feet high and surround my patio. They come up every year. They're a Musa Bajou hardy banana, called a fiber banana, if you will. But, you know, I grow things like that, and ginger that flowers and blooms. And I guess I inherited this interest from my grandfather, who used to live in Tennessee. And I love the tropical scene because when you get home from work, it's relaxing to get out and work in the yard with your hands and, you know, be hands-on with the plants, be one with nature.
Oh, absolutely. I love to discover that side of people because, you know, you've written this serious book, and so people think, oh, wow, this is his focus. But then you just see this other side to you and your day and your life, and I just think that's so neat.
Well, let me share one more interesting aspect that I think you and your listeners might find interesting. You know, when it came time to, since it is a self-published book, it came time to have a publishing company name. I created a publishing company after a phrase my wife actually used in one of her online logins, and she used the term Rosenthor. And I said, wow, that sounds cool. It sounds like something Game of Thrones, right? But where it comes from, my wife and I both rescue German Shepherds, and we have two right now, a female named Rose and a male named Thor. And so the publishing company is Rosenthor Publishing, and a portion of the proceeds from the sale of the book goes to German Shepherd rescue organizations. But it's a fun thing because we've been rescuing German Shepherds for a number of years now, and we're very big into that.
Oh, I love that, to incorporate something from your heart and to name your publishing company that, and then to give back to help these poor rescue animals. How did you get involved in German Shepherd rescue?
You know, it's funny. Well, my wife, before we ever met, she was watching the news one day in Alabama, and somebody had dropped a puppy off and chained it outside the door of a rescue organization. And, of course, the cameraman held that on the news that night. She saw it and immediately went there the next day to get it. And that was her dog named Sadie, and it traveled with her as she moved around the country. Well, we had Sadie for a year or two after we met and got married in 2003. And Sadie eventually went over the Rainbow Bridge. And so it became sad to come home to an empty house, and we decided, you know, we need to get another dog. And we found a dog online, a massive black German Shepherd named Nitro. And we decided we would take a shot, and we rescued Nitro. And Nitro was our impetus from then on to rescue German Shepherds.
Isn't that something, how she saw this dog on TV and she just connected and knew that she had to, that had to come home with her?
That's right.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for sharing those. I like the human side of all of this. So before we get into your book, maybe give us a highlights of your life's journey here that led you to write this book.
Well, it's crazy. You know, my background is 25 years building nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, the best ships in the world. And I spent 7 years on the waterfront with my hands as an apprentice, 12 years in engineering, and then 6 in IT. And so I saw all sides of the shipyard, and I became known as a process improvement expert. For example, I wrote the risk management process for the aircraft carrier program that Defense System Management College recognized as the industry best practice. And then after my wife and I met, one long after that, I left the shipyard and joined her small business startup at the time and helped her grow it from nothing to a multi-million dollar government consulting business. And then along the way, you know, let me ask you this, Pat. When you go to rinse after you brush your teeth, do you cup your hand, use a cup, or tilt your head?
I use a cup and swish it around and then spit it back in the sink.
Exactly. Now, you may not know this, but there's a thing called the aerosol effect. So when you flush the toilet, bioaerosols are ejected into the air, which includes E. coli, staphylococcus, stuff like that. And you know what? We never wash that cup often enough, and they land in that cup, and they multiply. So you could actually get sick and not even realize it from that. So I never used a cup in the bathroom. I didn't like cupping my hands for similar reasons. So I always craned my neck, and I thought, man, there has to be a better way. And one day I happened to see the Nasone fountains of Rome, the street fountains, and two little girls watering their dog walked over to this thing that looked like a fire hydrant and had a little tube hanging down the side, water coming out the bottom. And when they plugged their hand over the bottom, water popped out the top like a water fountain. And I thought, why isn't that in the bathroom? It's a 150-year-old idea. And so I decided then that, you know, I would take the 25 years I spent learning how to build the best ships in the world and fix the bathroom faucet that the big companies have never done by incorporating a fountain into it. And so I created a company called Nasone. If you go to nasoni.com, that's my website. That's my other business, matter of fact. And it's award-winning fountain faucets. I use it every day. And when I did it for rinsing after brushing, but I never thought of all of the other many uses. My wife every night would cup her hands and splash her face to rinse makeup off. And now she turns on both handles, gets a warm, gentle fountain stream, and dips her face in it. And so that became the impetus for my startup of turning, you know, an idea, an entrepreneurial idea, into a product. And then along the way, Dr. Lisa Caperna saw that, and she's the clinical director of Old Dominion University Monarch Physical Therapy Center. And she said, oh, my gosh, if I had a sensor version of that, we could help spinal cord injured patients live more independently. Ooh. So I applied for a government grant. And since then, I have won over $2.5 million in government grants to create smart sensor version of this faucet, this bathroom faucet. And I'm in the process of that now. But along the way, over the last 10 years and all of this stuff doing entrepreneurial things, people said, Steve, you need to write this stuff down and put it in a book. It could help so many people. And so that's the genesis of Valuepreneurs. Now, the interesting thing is the name of the book, right? Jason Pfeiffer is the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. And I spoke with him last May, and while I was on a call with him, a Zoom call, I told him about the book I was writing. And at the time, it was called Legends Execute, because it's all about execution, right? That's where everybody fails. You know, ideas, you've heard the phrase, ideas are a dime a dozen. And that's because they're full of risk. Nobody's ever done anything to add value. And so as I'm talking to Jason, he looks at me and he goes, you know, I think your book needs a different title. Everybody knows execution is where it's at. And he said, you know, have you ever heard of the book called The Third Door? And I said, no. He said, well, put yourself in this position. You're standing in line, a long line to get into a bar, and there's a bouncer there. He may or may not let you in. Well, the only other way to get in is the VIP entrance, and unless you're VIP, you're not getting in there either. But if you're in the know, there's a third door. And he said, this guy created a whole business around the metaphor of the third door. So now I'm thinking, okay, what the heck can I call my book? You know, I wasn't sure what to name it. I racked my brain. I went into ChatGPT. I said, give me 50 different title ideas, and nothing resonated. And so one day I was at the Outer Banks on vacation with my wife and another couple who were watching a movie. I'm still trying to think of what the title of my book should be. And then it dawned on me. My process is all about reducing risk and adding value every step you take until you reach product market fit. And I had recently read a book on marketing that said sometimes you can combine two words and form a new word. So the phrase value and entrepreneur came together to become valuepreneurs. So there it is. Sorry for the long path to answer your question, but it kind of all went together.
Oh my, what a story. You hit me when you were talking about the aerosolization of bacteria. I had interviewed Dr. Chuck Gerba. He's a microbiologist from the University of Arizona. When I was very, very active in my patient safety and advocacy business. And he used to refer to it as a toilet sneeze.
I never had any proof that you know, how bad that was or that my faucet was any cleaner to drink from.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years ago, I hired Dr. Anna Jang. She works at Old Dominion University as well in the environmental health department. And she and two of her graduate students actually took the faucet, created a controlled environment, exposed it to E. coli, mm-hmm. and have scientifically proven it's cleaner to drink from the fountain feature than the glass because the fountain feature is self-cleaning. They could not register any E. coli even when they exposed it multiple times to the bacteria. Mm-hmm. And so they published their results in the Virginia Journal of Public Health a few years ago, proving scientifically that the fountain mode is what you want to drink from.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah, there's so much to think about, especially in a bathroom situation. If you've got the toilet and you're flushing it and you've got your toothbrush sitting out in another cup and then the aerosol blows through the room and then it just takes me to public restrooms, which is a whole nother story.
Well, what's fascinating about all of this is, you know, last May, we actually finished our clinical trials with the prototype from the phase one grant of the faucet, and the spinal cord injured patients all found it very, very beneficial. They scored it really high. So we applied for a phase two grant in September. We won that for over $2 million. I'm working that now. But also along the way, you know, there was a time when my mother-in-law took care of my father-in-law over a three-year period, and he declined, you know, with dementia. They fell in the shower. Mm-hmm. And we thought, wow, maybe we can take this and also offload some of the shower functions to the bathroom faucet, like washing your hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied for a grant with the National Institute of Aging, and we're about to win that as well for $2.58 million. So again, it's, you know, how do you pivot in entrepreneurial ventures, right, to bring in new ideas and continue to grow? And that's what we're doing with Nasoni. But all of that I apply in the book to help others learn from.
Right. Have you been able to use this faucet in commercial applications? Because as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the ADA rooms or handicapped rooms, how neat it would be for hotels or locations such as that to at least use some of your faucets that way, making the shower experience safer.
We see the benefit there, but we have not yet done that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's purely, you know, residential.
Residential. Mm-hmm.
Although we did have, you know, an apartment complex install 58 of them. So we have had one commercial implementation.
Interesting.
We see a lot of benefit potentially for the aging population in retirement homes because they don't drink enough water. And so if we make water more accessible, you know, that would be a benefit. And what's interesting is Chris Hively, you remember MapQuest?
Yes.
Chris Hively is the co-founder of MapQuest, which he eventually exited for $1.2 billion for. And he liked the book so much, he wrote the foreword for the book.
I saw that. I saw that on Amazon as well. So a lot of great accolades. Who do you say will benefit from reading this book?
First of all, when I wrote the book, I said, okay, if I'm going to call it Valuepreneurs, I got to tell everybody what's the difference in the phrase Mark Cuban uses, wantrepreneur, mm-hmm. and then entrepreneur and valuepreneur, because they're three different terms. So I have to teach everybody and explain what are the differences between the three. And so let me explain them just very easily. So how many people do you know that have an idea they talk about and never do anything with it?
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. Yes.
Those are wantrepreneurs, right? There's so many people we all know, and they all have this great idea, but they never take that first step. And that's because they're unsure of what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know the path. They don't have a roadmap to follow. And then you have those people that are entrepreneurs that have an idea. They jump out and hit the ground running. They're building their product. They know what the answer is. They design it. They build it. They bring it to market. They patent it, you know, and next thing you know, nobody's buying it. Turns out Harvard professor Clayton Christensen scientifically proven, got a report that says that 95% of new products fail. And there are other reports from Forbes that'll tell you 9 out of 10 startups fail. And that's a big one of the big reasons for that is they don't talk to customers along the way. They don't take the time to do that. So the difference in a valuepreneur is we teach a few different things. One, we provide a proven roadmap, the value-driven product development process. It's 5 stages, 15 steps, and it walks you right through from idea to product market fit. And then along the way, as we do that, we integrate a tool called the Steve Blank Customer Development Model. So we teach you how to interview customers and get feedback. And then at the same time, we also integrate the business model canvas. So that as you build your product, you're also building your business model. And when you're ready to launch, you've not only proven your concept with your customers and validated it, you now have a business model to follow as well. You know, both those concepts, the Steve Blank Customer Development Model and the Business Model Canvas, have been around for 20 years or so. But the problem is entrepreneurs are still failing. Well, why is that? Because they're disparate concepts. Nobody's put it all together into a proven step-by-step process, which is what Valuepreneurs does.
I don't want to give away too much of your book. Are there more success tips or more ideas that you want to share about what folks will find when they pick up a copy of your book?
Yeah, there's a lot of things in it that, you know, for example, I created a phrase I call LENS, which is Learning Empowered Next Steps. And so at the end of every chapter, we provide a section called LENS, and we give additional reading materials and things like that. We also provide a lot of case studies, you know, about the book. And what's fun for me, one of my favorite things, is to go in and just read some of the Amazon reviews to learn from, you know, what people are liking. Because we're at, you know, well over 129 reviews now. And that includes reviews from other countries. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go in there now, right now on Amazon, there's a review from Italy, and the title says, "Fantastic book packed with concepts, diagrams, and valuable examples." And when you read his write-up, he says, "Simply fantastic book packed with concepts, diagrams, valuable examples. The book guides you step-by-step through familiar concepts in a clear and helpful manner." There's a review from the United Kingdom, one from Australia, one from Canada. In fact, the one from Canada titles it The Bible.
Oh.
It says, "Brilliant and thorough in every detail towards developing a new product and selling it. It's current and holds your hand every step of the way. If you want to develop a product, start here."
Wow.
I love reading these because it validates the amount of effort I put into getting this book right.
I checked this morning and I saw 129 reviews and they were awesome. And you can't ask for any better testimonials than that.
Well, the other thing I'd like to share is, you know, I had a contract to write a book back 20 years ago when I worked at Newport News Shipbuilding, and I was the risk management subject matter expert. In fact, the last 4 digits of my phone number at the shipyard were risk. It was 87475 was my internal, you know, of the shipyard phone number, because I wanted to be able to have a way for anybody could call me inside the yard and I could help guide them on risk. But when you look at the book, what I've done is created 4 different versions. There's an audio book for those that want to join Automobile University, as Zig Ziglar used to call it, and listen to it while you drive or mow the lawn. There's also the Kindle version. But when I had the contract with J. Ross Publishing for the book on risk, you know, I had told the guy I was working with that the book needed to be in color. And he told me business books are not in color. I said, well, wait a minute. The way I communicate risk is using stoplight charts, you know, with red, yellow, green, things like that. And it's very important to me because I'm a visual learner. And so the book has to be in color. Well, he repeated his comment that business books are not in color. I said, then, well, we're done. You know, I'm not going to do the book with you. So I canceled that contract, never wrote it. And I decided when I'm writing this book, I'm self-publishing it, to heck with the publishers, because I'm going to do it in color. So there is a hardcover version of the book that is in beautiful color. If you go to Amazon, click on it and click on the preview, and you can see the color inside it. Now, I know people, you know, that's $59, and Amazon put it on sale for $50.19, something like that. And if you don't have that kind of money and you want a cheaper version, I created a paperback version in black and white, which is $19.99. So I'm trying to give the best of both worlds for anyone that wants to learn the process.
Right. Thank you for sharing the self-publishing journey, because that was on my mind as well. So many people feel reticent about self-publishing, or, oh, well, I couldn't find a publisher, no one accepted it. And then they feel so down on themselves when truly they have something very worthy to say. And so thank you for standing up for yourself to say, I want this in color. I'll get it out there one way or the other.
Well, you know, I've had that attitude my entire life. Was, you know, I go against the grain. I see things differently. You know, I'm an unconventional thinker in the shipyard, which that really paid off for me, because when I went from the waterfront to engineering, engineers, having never worked on the waterfront, didn't see things the same way I did. And I would find better paths to create a solution for things they couldn't solve over time. And that, you know, that helped me rise through the ranks in engineering quite a bit.
Right. Right. So in addition to your book, Steve, do you also work one-on-one or courses or workshops? Are there other ways to work with you outside of the book?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that when you buy the book, there's a link inside it on the website that's our VIP club. And when you join the VIP club, there are free downloads that, you know, you can use to help your entrepreneurial efforts. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, we are going to be working on a workbook to go along with this. And also, some training is in the works. Now, I just launched a summit, which I just finished last month, called the Idea to Product Summit. I had 25, 26 speakers at the event, and it was a 3-day event, and it was all built around the book and the phases in the book. So day one was all about idea and concept development. Day two was prototyping and MVP development. And day three was all about market introduction and selling, and in gaining investors and patenting and things like that. So, you know, that was a huge effort that was all about training and teaching people and introducing them to other people in this field that are experts that do this kind of work as well.
Okay. Are there other books in your mind coming along?
There's an expert in the food business who has helped companies, billion-dollar companies, refine their efforts, including James Dyson. He worked with James Dyson. Mm-hmm. He is interested in working with me on a book called Valuepreneurs for the Food Tech Person. So that's potentially a second one we're looking at next. Haven't refined anything else yet. My goal right now is to maximize the exposure of Valuepreneurs, and because it has so much potential to help so many people, mm-hmm. and fix this problem of the 95% failure rate of new products going to market. You know, let me give you another example. When I first invented that fountain faucet, right, I created this prototype and, you know, proof of concept, and then I came up with an engineering solution for it. The first thought I had was, somebody's going to steal it. I need to go get a patent and protect it, because that's what you think of, right? And so, you know, I even got creative. I couldn't find an attorney around here that I could afford. So I found an attorney who was a freelancer in India that worked with the U.S. Patent Office. I hired them, paid about 1/5 of the cost. Thought I was really smart in what I was doing, you know. And I ended up getting a patent out of it. The problem was, I had not yet gone through design for manufacture, value engineering, and things like that, and refined the design. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I did all of that, then the design changed, mm-hmm. and so my patent was no longer valid.
Oh.
So I spent all those thousands of dollars doing the patent at the wrong time. And that's what I teach you in this book, is don't make the mistakes I made. Learn from my mistakes, but also learn from the things I did right as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's why this roadmap in the book is so powerful and so helpful.
Oh my, that's a great tip just right there. That should entice everybody to get a copy of this book, because you wouldn't think of that, but that as the design evolves, your patent disappears.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. All righty. Obviously, there's a lot here in this book, Valuepreneurs, 5-Stage, 15-Step Journey, and I encourage everybody to get a copy. So I want to make sure, as we begin to wrap up, that we are not missing anything that you wanted to highlight today. I'm sure there's so much, but they need to get a copy of the book to find out. But other than that, you know, anything we missed?
Yeah. I mean, well, I'll give you another example in the book. We not only do we talk about patents, we teach you about design patents, utility patents, and all the steps involved. Like, for example, in design patents, there are no maintenance fees once it issues. But with utility patents, there are maintenance fees you have to pay at certain intervals after getting your patent. All that's laid out in a clear diagram, and it's explained. But maybe you don't need a patent. Maybe you might be better off going to market without it. We help you go through those decisions. There are even things in the book on funding and what's the difference in angel funding, you know, seed investment, venture capital, bootstrapping, and when is the right time for approaching funding? And then we even talk about storytelling. How do we use storytelling to win over investors? Ooh. Or to even work with your team and bring new team members on and make sure everybody's all pointed in the same direction and toward achieving that big goal, right? So the book has more than just a step-by-step process. There's all stuff in there about fundraising and storytelling and so forth. So that's why people are finding it so valuable on Amazon when you read those five-star reviews, those 100-plus five-star reviews. It's all in the book.
And this is why there are so many wantrepreneurs, because they don't know what to do. And it takes me to watching Shark Tank, where you have those poor folks sometimes up there just floundering, not knowing what the process was. And so it's so understandable how your book could be helpful to anyone who has an idea and wants to see it to fruition.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Shark Tank. People always ask me, you should go on Shark Tank. And I did apply. You know, there's over 50,000 people a year, you know, apply for that show, and only a handful get selected. I made it to the video submission round. Now, I didn't get past that, but I did get picked for a show called Steve Harvey Thunderdome.
Yeah.
And I was actually out on stage, CBS Television Studios. I won $50,000. I competed on stage against another entrepreneur for the audience vote with Steve Harvey as the moderator. And the only issue was it was filmed for season two. Season one was the only one that was funded, so it didn't air, but I still got the $50,000. You know, I raised over $80,000 in startup competitions. So when you don't have money, look for those. And we teach you that in the book. Look for those startup competitions where they have a prize, a cash prize, and you can help fund your startup. You know, people know that money is a necessity to get going.
Right.
And so don't just hit your friends and family for money. There's other ways to raise it.
Right, right. And probably bigger amounts as well. Wow, this is awesome. I'm so excited about this conversation, and I knew I would be, Steve. Thank you for sharing you and your life and your work. Give us now all of your contact information. How can folks find you, get copies of the book? Just take us wherever you want us to go.
Sure. So my bio, if you'd just like to see my bio, you can just go to my personal website, which is swaddell.com. And then for the book, just type in Valuepreneurs in Amazon and, you know, spell it correctly, Value, and then Prenurs. And it'll be the first hit you get when you type it in. So that's the best place. And the second place, or third place rather, would be LinkedIn. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, just look me up as Steve Waddell.
Okay.
LinkedIn.com/in/Steve Waddell. And you'll find my background.
All righty. Okay, so we are talking with Steve Waddell, author of the book titled Valuepreneurs. Website is swaddell.com. Find him on LinkedIn. Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much for finding us and for sharing you and your expertise with us today. I know that it's going to go a long way to help all of the wantrepreneurs out there.
Thank you, Pat. We want to turn those wantrepreneurs into valuepreneurs.
Exactly, and I think you will be doing that. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Pat. It was great to be here.